Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, it's me and I'm in love again. Had no love and say you know when. You know I love you. Yes, I do. And I'm saving all my loving, yeah, for you. Need your loving and I need it best. Just like a dog when he's going mad. Ooh-wee, baby, ooh-wee. Baby, won't you give your love to me? Any minute, any money more. Pull me and warn me around no more. Ooh-wee, baby, ooh-wee. Baby, don't you let your dog bite me.
Hi, you boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book.com. Listening to the comedian Robert Klein describe the 50s, he called it the Dark Ages because it was before drugs and the pill. And it was. It was a time, it was the last age of innocence in the United States. You had to go for miles to find a lawyer. There were no divorces. The only people that were getting divorces were Hollywood false idols, and they had to go to Mexico to get them. They couldn't even get them in the United States. So no divorces, no alimony. You made your bed, you slept in it. Yeah, so tonight I opened with Fats Domino, Yes It's Me and I'm in Love Again. And now we're going to waltz over to Obama's epistle to the faithful last night. And I have to say, and I'm going to say it again, this guy gave America a wedgie. He's driving a wedge between whites and blacks in America. And he's doing it cheerfully. He was asked about his friend, Mr. Gates, who gave a cop a hard time and played the race card. And the township of Cambridge is not standing behind the cop, just like Duke University didn't stand behind its students and fired its coach, its lacrosse coach, to appease racism. In 10 years, white guys will be crying racism. We're in trouble. And this president is going to split the country right down the middle. And what is the outcome going to be? If you want to save your neck and you want to save this country, you cannot give the party of death the House, the Senate, and the presidency, because they will run you into rack and ruin. You have to break that stranglehold. You have to break that monopoly on freedom. So, Obama, let Obama live, but make sure that he's under control. And you're not going to control him by giving him a Democrat House, a Senate, and presidency. You got to break up that mix. And I'm not saying that the Republicans are any better. If I had my way, I'd fire all of them. I don't like them. I don't trust them. They're no different than, they're just a little, they're a little less obvious than the Democrats. There are a couple of good Republicans, but there are a lot of re-puppies. When you hear Obama, the titular head of the Democrat Party, telling you that he can count on Olympia Snow, you know Olympia Snow is a Democrat in drag. And Olympia Snow should be thrown out of the Republican Party, along with the Gang of Eight that sided with the Democrats against their own party. If they can't be counted on, they got to be eliminated. Hang in there. We'll give you some more thoughts for the day. One of them is that in his speech last night, he told the country doctors are making too much money. He didn't say it in those words, but he hinted at it. He charged them with performing tonsillectomies because there's more money in that operation than curing a sore throat. And I got to tell you that the politicians have ruined the medical profession in this country. It's lucky we're lucky it's still standing. They are meddlesome people, and abortion is not a medicine. If you're going to get rid of, if you're going to kill a kid, do it on your own time with your own money. Don't ask American taxpayers to subsidize child murder. It's bad enough that we have to subsidize homosexual pornography in our cable bills and chop shop murders Friday the 13th. Chainsaws. Get the chainsaw today. It's on special. It's the same one that was used in Friday the 13th. I have never seen so much butchery of women in my life. Take me back to the dark ages. Take me back to the 50s. Girls used to wear kerchiefs when they went to church. The altar was facing the front of the church. It took 2,000 years to turn the altar around and give up meat on Friday. But the Democrats want to legislate. They want amendments to the Ten Commandments. And the biggest offenders are the hypocrites who stand up and say, I'm a Catholic and I'm for child murder. And I'm an American and I'm for legalized drugs. And I'm an American and I'm against fighting to defend America. And I'm for flag burning because it's freedom of speech. And if that's freedom of speech, somebody should cut your tongue out. Father, forgive me. My rage spilleth over. Let me give you a tune. Here's another tune from the dark age of 1959, when silly people believed in love. And you know what? If you watch PBS, when they're doing 50s night, and you look in the audience, you know what you'll see? You'll see the same couple that danced in the 50s, and they're still sitting in the audience together.
Magic moment.
age of innocence was beautiful. The hero always got the girl. The bad guy always got jail time. Judges were respected. Police were respected. Women were respected. And that's because of the legacy that we inherited from the World War II generation. The whole generation, the generation that won World War II, they all smoked. And they all, if they survived the war, they all had long lives. They married once. They were easy to please. No prima donnas. No me first people. Just decent average Americans. They were spawned on hard times. They knew what it was like. They came from an age where there were no credit cards. And when credit cards first came out, you know what they used to say? If you can't afford it, why would you want a credit card? If I can't pay for it, I don't want it. And that was their mindset. And they shared what they had. And they didn't have much. But they left a lot. And so I was fortunate enough to be one of the leftovers. I became the first of free ride generation. When I was playing on a linoleum floor, all around me were combat boots of guys that were going overseas. Uncles, aunts, brothers, fathers, and they built a legacy that will not be, in my lifetime, will not be surpassed. It was the age of purity. There used to be a beer company, and they had a three word slogan: purity, body, and flavor. And that was the 50s generation. You know, pot hadn't even taken over New York City, let alone the Southland. Pot was moving up from downtown. When I was growing up, it hadn't reached my neighborhood yet. And it hadn't reached the northern tip of Manhattan. Now we got guys growing it in hydroponic farms. How sad, man. A nation of junkies. Can't wait for the next fix. Electing a president because he promised to give him freebies. A vote communist, you get a free college education. A vote communist will get you a house you can't afford. A vote communist will get you a settlement in a lawsuit against a big corporation that we'll have. Take me back to the 50s. Let me hear those tunes of glory.
Let there be light, and there was a light. Let there be earth, and there was earth. If I had my way, I would ask of him, please, let there be you. Let there be rain, and there was rain. Let there be heaven up above. If I had my way, I would ask of him, please, let there be you. You are the feeling of spring. You are the beginning of
everything. How could anyone go wrong? Let there be stars, and there were stars. Let there be moon, and there was moon. If I had my way, I would ask of him, please let there.
Thinking of Johnny Mathis today and listening to one of his tunes last night, Certain Smile. And I said to myself, could you see Johnny Mathis walking around in sneakers with his shoelaces untied, with his pants hanging down, with his hat that points in the wrong direction? Could you see Johnny Mathis doing that? No, you won't. You'll see Johnny Mathis in a tux. Because Johnny Mathis has class. And if you want to know what class is, look at Johnny Mathis.
Thank you.
After watching America vote a host of crooked candidates into the nation's treasure chest room, I finally found the perfect candidate, someone to look up to and not feel threatened by. Someone who believes in God, family, and country in that order. Someone who can raise children and work a tough job at the same time. Someone who will defend America to the death. Someone who can help a spouse at work and makes good coffee. Someone who supports the military and is an NRA member who can ride and shoot. And that is why I will endorse the only candidate that can save America. The people's choice today is Glenn Beck. You thought I was going to say Sarah Palin, didn't you? Hey, she's good too. And my second issue of the day is I caught a documentary by a black guy wearing a Harvard sweatshirt. And I only remembered his last name because in my industry, it's the same name as a fan belt company. His name is Gates. So his name was easy for me to remember. And I watched him he went back to his father's, his family's ancestral home, and he was in Africa. And he followed the coastline of Africa, going from country to country. And he loved it. He enjoyed it very much. And of course, wherever he went, he was greeted warmly with African hospitality. And I thought he was Muslim, but I might be wrong. But he was greeting everybody, Assalamu alaikum, and they were coming back, alaikum wa salam, and he was loving it. He was eating it up. And I think he even went to Timbuktu. But I do remember him going down the coastline. And as he went to each country from the coast, he would stop at the prisons that held slaves and the trading pens and the auction blocks that auctioned off slaves. And he was greeting everybody. And it's ironic because in order for those slaves to get to the beach, they had to be transported by the black tribes that raided their tribe and captured them to bring to those beach prisons, those freight forwarding, slave forwarding posts, to be sold to the white man. And it was amazing. I got some information. I did some research on slavery. And I'm not an expert at it, but the Muslims were in the slave trade for 14 centuries. And the white eyes were in the slave trade for 3 centuries. And I do remember from my Catholic grammar school history that the first slaves that were brought to the United States were brought here by the Dutch. But what I didn't know was that only 5% of all the slaves taken out of Africa were brought to the United States. Many were brought to South America. And the first slaves, to my surprise, were white. And the word Slav, slave, comes from the word Slav, because many of them came from Slavic countries. And of course, in the Bible, you know that Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. And isn't that the way slavery is? You're sold by your brothers. Your fellow man betrays you and sells you into slavery. I started looking for photos of slaves that were taken by the Muslims, and I've seen some pretty horrendous-looking photos and drawings. And I came to learn that when Muslims, Arabs, took slaves, many times they would they preferred to take only women and children, and they would kill the men for better control. So it was a horrifying situation. And in the Quran, it tells you that how to treat your slaves, especially the women. And the one sultan had 6,000 concubines. And another one outdid him. He had 12,000. So slavery is a bad thing. And there is more slavery today in the United States than there ever was. And today's slave is a drug slave. And they are subdued and kept under control. And they are taught to steal. They are trained to steal to buy money for the next fix and the next drug. And 90% of your crime is drug related. But that's the greatest form of slavery today. And it also leads to prostitution, and it leads to AIDS and dead and dirty hypodermic needles. And we all know that story. You see, that wasn't going on in the dark ages of the 1950s. You didn't even know how to use a hypodermic needle. Today they have training films that are produced by Hollywood. Even in the movie, The Man with the Golden Arm with Frank Sinatra, I don't think they showed him shooting up. So I'm watching this guy Gates, and I enjoyed his documentary. And he's going from country to country. And finally he gets to this one seaport town, and he meets with the headman and an interpreter. And the headman is Arab, and so is the interpreter. And he's salam alaikuming and merhaba and kif el halik. And in the conversation, he says to the headman through the interpreter, "We are brothers, we are one and the same." And the interpreter tells the headman, and they both start laughing. And Gates is taken back by it. And if you can, they might show this documentary again, now that he's a big issue. And he was taken back by it, and he said, "Well, what's so funny?" In a nice way, with a big smile on his face. He said, "What's so funny?" And the interpreter said, hesitated, and said, "We are Arab, you are black." All right? And that was his bubble. His bubble got burst, but he overcame it. Yeah. But a cop doing his duty, protecting the citizenry of Cambridge, Massachusetts, who gets a call from a woman next door who must know who Gates is. Okay, if she was sharp enough to see somebody trying to break into Gates's house, she must know what Gates looks like. I'm sure she watches him come and go too. And she called the cops and said, "There's something suspicious. The two guys are jimmying the door." So the cop shows up, and the door is jimmied, and inside the house is Gates. And Gates got uppity. Not as a black man, but as a Harvard superior intellectual looking down on a working class man. And the cop was accompanied by two other officers. One, I think, was Latino, and one was black. And this cop gives classes on racial harmony and how to avoid racial confrontations. And here's Gates talking down to him and keeping him from doing his job. I'm sure it would only be a matter of minutes before the cop, looking around the house, would have figured out that Gates lives there, because Gates' pictures are probably all over the place. But from the reports that I'm hearing, the house was there was an attempted break-in in the house while Gates was away. So they were watching the community as doing the job that cops do, and that's protecting the citizenry. And it was, and all Gates had to do, if the cops came to me at my door, and they were white and I'm white, and they said to me, what are you doing here? I would tell them, I live here, and in a nice way, I would disarm them. I don't mean physically take their guns, I just mean to take the edge off so that nobody is tense and nobody's, and everybody's on the same page. But apparently Gates decided to play the race card, which has worked so well for guys like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, and they've made, and the Reverend Wright, he's got a $5 million house on Lake Michigan playing the race card. Hey, racism is good business. But that cop was doing his job, that low-paid cop was doing his job, and he was looking out for the owner of that house, not knowing that Gates was the owner, and then when he became convinced that Gates was the owner, he backed off, but Gates wouldn't let him back off. And Gates pursued him, and to the point where the cop arrested Gates. The biggest mistake was that Cambridge police dropped the charges against Gates. They never should have dropped the charges. If he was disorderly, he should have been charged with being disorderly. Okay? And they bowed to racial pressure. And when they bowed to racial pressure, they sacrificed that cop and every cop that's on the job in the entire United States. And the bad people that are watching will know how to play this card tomorrow if they don't already know how to do it. So there's no difference between Gates and Al Sharpton, but the biggest mistake that was made last night was for the President of the United States to get involved. Bush never would have got involved. As dumb as Bush is, or as he is charged with being dumb, he never would have stuck his head in the oven. And that's what Obama did last night. Obama continued to play the race card. And not only that, the second biggest insult was he dragged Latinos into it too. Every time he goes down, he drags the Latinos with him. He wants to make sure that the Latinos become black. And he plays that race card all the time. It's a dual race card. It's black and Latino. And never forget, Obama never served in the military. So he wouldn't meet guys like Rodriguez, Rivera, Munoz. He wouldn't go to funerals of guys named Gonzalez and Garcia, because he never served his country. And here he is running it. And you tell me we're not up the creek without a paddle. And tonight he's talking about cops as being racist. And tomorrow it'll be the military. You mark my words. And you see this scandal in New Jersey where the FBI had to go and bust 30 politically connected criminals. Two mayors, an assistant mayor, two rabbis, and it has to do with selling body parts? Come on. Your country is gone. Your country is no longer on the auction block. The auction is over. Whoever got what they got it. You know who we had in the Dark Ages? We were saying goodbye to a great president, the last Democrat, his name was Harry Truman. He stood by his friends. If they were bad guys, he never abandoned them. He stood by them. When he left office, he had a mortgage on his house. He had to write a book to help pay his mortgage. He never took a dime. He never raided the treasury like these guys. You got all the wrong people in power, I'm telling you. First off, we got too many billionaires, too many millionaires in power, and you got too many lawyers. We don't need all those lawyers. We need the average American. You need a postman. You need a cobbler. You need a baker. You need a butcher. And you need small business back. And this president's going to kill small business. He's going to drive them out of business. There's only going to be big guys buying from China. And mom and pop will be a dirty word. It's already a dirty word, especially if they have children. You ever see people when they say the word family, they sort of curl their lips? They sort of snarl. It's a family. It's funny what kids remember, and how and things that impress kids impress kings. Riding up in an elevator with my children in the Sherry Netherlands Hotel in New York. My daughter must have been 8 years old. And you know what she remembers about the elevator ride? That somebody said to somebody while we were going up in the elevator, "It's a family." And she never forgot that. So you see, there's more than one type of discrimination. There's also subtle discrimination as compared to the obvious discrimination. And by the way, that movie Grease, that's make-believe 50s. That gets the MBS award. It's close, but it's been doctored up by 60s people. Yeah.
Take my lips and kiss them.
Take my love.
Take my hands and hold them.
Till the end.
you following this FBI raid in New Jersey, where they caught 44 crooks, and they're all politically connected. 43 are Democrats, and one is independent. Three are mayors, and they're all they're ripping off everybody they can. And that I saw some pictures, and there are a couple of rabbis, and it looks like as they're bringing them out, I never seen so many yarmulkes in handcuffs, and it looks like the cast of Fiddler on the Roof. And it turns out that they're very poor people. They come from Brooklyn and Deal, New Jersey, and you know Deal, New Jersey. You know that's you can't afford to buy real estate in Deal, New Jersey. When the Bashar al-Assad, Nancy Pelosi's lover, threw all the Jews out of Syria, his father did, Hafez al-Assad. He threw all the Jews out of Syria. Many of them came to and bought land in Deal, New Jersey. And I remember because I was looking at a house in Deal, New Jersey, and I went down there, and there was an elderly couple, and they were renting a house. And it turned out to be that they used to own a house in Deal, and when the Syrian Jews came in with money in a suitcase, they offered them a sweetheart deal in Deal. And they took the money and they went to Florida, and they didn't like Florida. And when they came back, they couldn't afford to buy the same house in Deal, New Jersey that they sold. How's that? But this is the tip of the iceberg. If this is what's going on in New Jersey, and of course the governor, he was made aware of it today, and he is shocked and appalled, which is the Democrat cliche. Whenever they get caught stealing, they're shocked and appalled, and they immediately form a committee to investigate. And then they call their relatives to sit on the committee. It's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. And they were into knockoff and counterfeit goods, political payoffs disguised as champagne contributions. I told you about campaign contributions. That's unconstitutional. That's a bribe. You dress it up any way you want, and you call it anything you want, and that's a bribe. A political contribution is a bribe, and I'm tired of hearing politicians saying they need money to run for office. Too bad. Too bad. If everybody gets the same dollar, the playing field is equal, and the most you should be able to get is a dollar. And two things that should be destroyed immediately to save the country, and one is political contributions, and the other is the only lobby in Washington should be in a hotel. So, having said that, these boys are in trouble. And I feel sorry for the Jewish community. As soon as I heard this and saw this, I flashed back to upstate New York Hasidim, who are very conservative and vote conservative, and they sold out to Hillary Clinton in her Senate campaign to get one rabbi, maybe two rabbis, off the hook, and got them a pardon for criminal activities involving fraud, money fraud, okay? And it's all government money fraud. These people all know where to burrow. But what broke my heart about the Hillary Clinton one, where she bought the Hasidic vote upstate New York, is that I know in my heart that there's a young Jewish girl in a family who was in the kitchen while these guys are sitting around in the dining room making plans on selling out to Hillary, and that religious girl, she is heartbroken that her father is involved in that deal, going against the laws of Moses and the Ten Commandments. and how she can no longer look her father in the eye. And that's it, you know. The seventh ring of hell, that's the lowest level of hell, according to Dante, is reserved for those who betray a trust. And the penalty for these politicians who got involved in selling organs that they bought for $10,000 and sold for $160,000 for kidneys, their penalty, they shouldn't do one day in jail. They should have to go right to the operating room and donate a kidney. And if their kidney's no good, it will take the liver. Yeah. And take the heart. Let them donate a heart. Yeah. Unbelievable. And this is the tip of the iceberg. If you think this is only going on in crooked, incompetent New Jersey, the California of the East Coast, let me tell you something. This is going on throughout the land, and this is going on in Washington, D.C. If they ever painted a picture of the House and the Senate, everybody would have to wear pirate costumes. You know what cracks me up? When I have friends in New Jersey, and they're big liberals, and when I tell them that one of their boys got caught, do you know what the liberal answer is? So what? Yet Cheney was involved in big oil. Yeah, was he involved in big oil as much as Joe Kennedy? Huh? Who's in bed with Cesar Chavez? Yeah. Cheney was involved in big oil. He had a meeting with the big oil people, and he didn't tell anybody what it was all about. Yeah, do you think Obama's telling everybody what it's all about when he plans to free all of the Gitmo detainees? Huh? Arnold Schwarzenegger, you think he's telling anybody what it's all about when he's getting ready to turn 24,000 criminals loose? He's going to do his own Mario boat lift into the poor people of the ghetto, of the barrio. He's going to sick criminals on them. You know what those criminals are going to do? They're going to take over those poor neighborhoods. They're going to take over the poor Mexican neighborhoods. They're going to take over the poor black neighborhoods. And they're going to intimidate the law-abiding citizens. And the law-abiding citizens are going to get no help. And by that time, the cops will all be broken. So they won't even get any police protection. No cop is going to show up and get in trouble. Right now, the response time for police, you don't know. They go sick before they show up. And you can't blame them. Why show up for a lawsuit? Why show up to be called a racist and lose your job? Be threatened with the loss of your pension? I wouldn't show up for anything. I would do interviews first. Hello, 911, I'm being robbed. Well, what kind of robbery is it? Oh, I'm a jeweler and they're taking all my jewelry. Are they armed? Yes, they're armed. They're threatening to shoot the one person a minute here. Well, let me see. I got a break for lunch. Yeah, and that's what's going to happen. And you know what? The crybabies will kill the rest of us. They're the ones that create all these situations. And whoever said kill all the lawyers was a genius. Because let me tell you something. If everybody stuck by the Ten Commandments, we wouldn't need lawyers. I know I'm going to lose a good lawyer friend, but I got to tell you something. I'm willing to sacrifice. And if you're still naive as an American about the justice system in the United States, let me give you some advice that's going to save you a ton of money. You do not want your day in court. You do not want your day in court. Avoid lawyers like the plague. If your marriage is falling apart, make the deal with the wife. Save yourself the aggravation. The two of you got to look at one another and say, look, we hate each other, we can't stand each other, but you know what? Let's not give anything to a lawyer. And do the right thing by each other, and then say goodbye. And if you got married in church like I told you, you'd be okay today. When you go to Vegas and you get married by an Elvis lookalike, you know you're starting on the wrong foot. And never forget, a vow is a vow. If you keep your vow, you're home free. That's love, honor, and obey, and the male gets the channel changer. And the female gets all the closets. Here's a little beach music. They weren't playing in Omaha Beach in 1944, but I'll bet you those GIs wished that they could have been there in bathing suits instead of in battle gear. Thank you.
Comrades, it's almost 8 o'clock. The head commissar of Washington is going to talk about medical slavery. Please rise for the Democrat National Anthem. Today, Chuck Heinrich Schumer, the flag burner and baby killer of record, is proudly announced that he blocked the Second Amendment and the right for Americans to bear arms interstate. See, first we'll cordon them off and then we will execute them. And Chuck is very concerned that the unborn may be allowed to carry guns. And then there will be extra violence during the extraction process. Yeah, they can't carry 45s, but they could carry derringers, Chuck says. Now I'm going to turn the show over to a pro-American illegal immigrant. And I have a thought for today. If the medical mystery that's going to be passed. Can you read 1,000 pages? Can you read it if somebody adds 300 of them in the middle of the night? Can you read it by 9 o'clock in the morning? How much gobbledygook? Do you read the small print in your credit card? How are you going to read 1,000 pages of legislation that's been created by knaves for fools? Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So I know the reason why Obama wants to make medical benefits available to illegal aliens, because he's one himself. Show us the papers. I want to see the papers. Here's our guest from overseas who has come to the land of the free and the home of the broke. I love this country, everything free. I be here 3 weeks already, I own communist red line house. $650,000. No money down. I get discrimination check. I am half Muslim, half Russian Cossack. I am Cossack. I sack this country every day. I have free hospital benefits under Medi-Cal. Until you turn 65 or cough, whichever comes first. Once your number is up, we treat you like a newborn baby. Under the Democrats, you get PBA, partial benefits abortion. I love this country, everything free. I have two brand new automobiles. One is Beamer, one is Mercedes. No American crap for me. I shop Walmart for quality made in China. No American crap for me. I am construction boss. I drive my truck into ghetto and pick up Mexican workers sitting on stoop. Their names are Julio Brown, Cesar Green, Jose Washington, Pancho Sharpton, and Emilio Rangel. They show me last names on doorbells. I love this country. Everything free. I start two political committees in 2004. I am the president of Jews for Bush. I be only member. We filed bankruptcy. I make $2 million in tent money called TARP. We be insured with AIG. Then I learn a Democrat bait and switch. I become president of Arabs for America. We hold a telethon. We hire 200 people to handle large volume of telephone donations. Call and support America. After 3 weeks, the tote board lights burned out. Finally, the phone, it rang. It was wrong number, but we sold 2 orders of lobster Cantonese. I love this country. Everything free. What's that you say? The draft may come back? I will be number one pick? I don't like this country no more.
Hi everybody, I'm Ramos. I come from, I used to live in Parkland House, Nueva York. I moved to California. I do gardening in California for the governor, the alcalde. I go to his mansion and I do the gardening. He pay me $2,500. I give him my bill. You know the guy, he's... His name is Arnold Negro Negro. Yeah, his name is in German Schwarz Neger. Well, Schwarz in German means Negro, and Neger in German means Negro. So I call him Arnold Negro Negro. And I give him my bill, $2,500, and he gave me chit. I said, "What is this?" He says, "It's a government chit." "And what do I do with this?" He says, "Like an IOU. How about you feed my children?" I don't want this chit. I want cash. I want green. I want Yankee green. Maricón. Did you like that one? I like that one. I like to play on words. That if you caught the Russian guy, who was a cross between a Muslim and a Cossack,
You notice he is a Cossacker. And I like to do a play on words. I'll give you a story real quick that shows you how you can play on words. Oh, in the beginning of my book, The Spirit of America Party book, I give a description of Osama bin Laden. He is a fakir. And the definition of a fakir is one who performs feats of magic and fools people into believing that he is a prophet. And I say that Osama bin Laden is the mother of all of fakirs. He is a mother fakir. So that's how I like to play with the words, you know. I call Chuck Schumer a sea sucker. He goes down to the sea and he sucks up the water. He is a sea sucker. Play on words again. Well, here's a story that has a little play on words. Ted Kennedy is on his deathbed. And I did this a while back before Ted got sick, so I don't want you to think I'm rubbing in anything here. He's on his deathbed, and he demands that the Pope send an emissary to hear his confession. And the Pope is taking it under consideration. Now, there's something that you should know about Italian folklore. In Italian folklore, there is a curse called the Malocchio. When somebody hates you, they will put a curse on you called a Malocchio. And the way they do it is they burn your front step or they nail a chicken head to your door. And that is called a Malocchio. But there is one more deadly than a Malocchio. It's like Italian voodoo. And that's called a Ma Napoli. So, I think somebody puts a Ma Napoli on Ted Kennedy. Because when he summons the Pope to send an emissary, the emissary shows up and he's a full-blown cardinal. And he comes in and goes, "Yes, Ted, my son." And Ted says, "I want you to hear my confession. I'm sorry for ruining the lives of so many people. I'm sorry for voting to burn my flag. I'm sorry for killing kids and drowning women." And the cardinal looks down with a forgiving a smile on his face. Now, there's a bad word in the punchline, but I'm not going to say it. I'm going to use the word hawk, H-A-W-K. So the cardinal leans down and goes, "Hawk you. Go directly to hell. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. And that's a monopoly." Hang in. I was watching Robert Klein. He did a show, and he's very entertaining. But I don't think he's too pro-Catholic. But he's very entertaining, and he is a good comedian. He's well versed and educated. And the only thing that bothers me about Robert Klein is that he, like many Jewish guys, always refer to their ethnicity, but never to their religion. Those synagogues are open every week, at least every week. Not once a year. If you're going to say you're Jewish, be Jewish. Be what your ancestors were. And if you're going to say you're Irish Catholic, you better not vote to kill kids or burn the flag, because both are mortal sins. So, having said that,
What was I going to tell you?
Oh, I know what it was. Vulgarity in comedy. A good punchline always had a bad word in it. And people were thrilled at the delivery. But today, the entire vocabulary of the United States has bad words in it. So when you tell a joke that used to have a punchline with a bad word in it, people don't get it. I'll give you an example. I told you about I don't use the F word. I say hawk, right? This nun gets on a bus, and she starts saying her beads. And the bus driver says, "Sister, you didn't put any money in the fare box." And she keeps saying her beads. And he goes, "Sister, you didn't put any money in the fare box." And the nun keeps praying. He goes, "Sister, I'm not moving the bus until you put the money in the fare box." And the lady sitting next to her goes, "Sister, I think he's talking to you." And the nun looks up at her and goes, "Hawk at him." So see, there's a punchline. There's a nun that teaches in California, and the governor paid her with a chit. So she goes to the liquor store, and the guy behind the counter says, "Can I help you, sister?" She says, "Yes, I'd like a bottle of blackberry brandy." So the guy gives her a bottle of blackberry brandy, and she pays him. And a half hour later, she comes back and she goes, "I'd like another bottle of blackberry brandy." And the guy behind the counter says, "Sister, you were just here a half hour ago." She says, "Oh, this isn't for me. It's for the Reverend Mother. She's constipated." So he gives her another bottle. And she comes back a half hour later. She goes, "I need another bottle of black." And she's staggering. "I need another bottle of blackberry brandy." And the guy says, "Sister, you told me this was for the Reverend Mother, and she was constipated." "She is, and when she sees me, she's going to chit." Thank you.
got two emails tonight that I'm going to, actually it was on in the chat room, and I'm just going to mention it. One was, we talked about abortion. I call it murder, child murder, and somebody comes to me and says, it's not murder, it's not a child. That person should go to a flower shop tomorrow, buy a package of seeds, get a little dirt, and stick one seed in the ground, and tell me what he gets, or tell me what she gets. Okay, anybody who's walking the face of this earth that does not believe that when the sperm penetrates the egg, that is not jackpot, that's not three bars across, okay, is not living in the real world. And the other one was the one, I got one, and they're knocking the white cops. Yeah, but they're not knocking the Latino cop. I'm going to mention one cop. Mike Savage mentioned four cops that got gunned down by a black man in California. I'm going to mention one white cop who came to this country from, I think, the Ukraine, and he was a policeman in New York, and his partner was Oriental. And they stopped an SUV after running the plates, and they walked up to tinted windows. And when the window came down, guns were blasting, and the cop was shot in the head, and he died in the hospital like 2 days later. Okay? And that's the risk that all policemen take every day of the week, every minute of the hour. And, of course, the liberals will tell you that's what they get paid for. Well, they don't get paid enough. There shouldn't be a cop in a country that's making less than $100,000 a year. And when I'm president, that's the first thing I'm going to do. And I'm going to take the money away from the communist teachers. But you got to think about that. And, of course, liberals are non-forgiving, and they will destroy this country with glee. So I just wanted to mention that to you. And let me see how much time I got left. And oh, wait a minute. Somebody just said hello. Let me see what we got here. J-Man. POW, he's got me. PQW, he's got me. I don't know what that means. But anyway, let me see how much time we got left. I probably got I got 5 minutes. We'll give you a tune. Yeah. Anybody who's walking this earth today that doesn't believe that when the sperm meets the egg, that's not the beginning of life, is not living in the real world and is totally uneducated. With all the inroads we've made to society, we were talking last night, and somebody said, I said, what's wrong with this person? And the fella said, missing a Y chromosome. And I said, what does that mean? I said, she's not a man. where does the Y chromosome come in? What is it, XX and YY or XY? Is that in the first cell? And where is the first cell? Come on, guys. If you don't believe that the life begins when the sperm meets the egg, you belong back pre-Columbus days, and the earth is square. Okay, you want an anti-drug song? I'll give you an anti-drug song.
Permit me to introduce myself. The name is Mr. Kick. I dwell in a dark dominion, away down by the river Styx. The devil has sent me here because I'm full of wicked tricks. And I'm such a popular fellow among all you lunatics. I teach a course in ruination from the devil's text. To fools who can't withstand temptation, step right up, you're next. I hail from a hollow hellhole down along the river Styx. Allow me to introduce myself. The name
here, Mr. Kicks. When an old wolf starts prowling out among the young lambs howling, don't you know he's looking for kicks? When a young cat full of sly tricks spends his evenings chasing fly chicks, 10 to 1 he's looking for kicks. Kicks is always in demand, cause kicks is full of fun and laughter. Lots of folks get out of hand because it's only kicks they're after. Shady lady and her lover, operating undercover, she knows sin and virtue don't mix.
Thank you, J-Man.
Her mama raised her prim and proper, but now while her fills couldn't stop her when she's on a manhunt for kicks. Kicks, yeah, yeah, looking for kicks. Just kicks, nothing but kicks. I'm Satan's simple servant sent to get you in a fix. So look me up just anytime. The name is Mr. Kicks.
I got the message, J-Man. I understand it now. Okay, let's see how much time we got left. We got 2 minutes, and we'll give you the Spaniels.
Oh, won't you hear what I say? 'Cause you know I don't play. Now don't you throw those bouquets at me. Don't please my folks too much. At my jokes too much, because people say we're in love. Girl, listen to me now, don't sigh and gaze at me. Your sighs are so divine. Your eyes mustn't glow like mine, because people say we're in love. Collecting things, just give me back my rose and my gloves. Oh, sweetheart, they're suspecting things, and people will say we're in love.
Seconds left. Take care.